Well, this week has been good. Last Sunday we last Sunday we took up our special collection. Was it last Sunday? 2 weeks ago. Well, Chris Lippe and I got to go up on Friday and take some money up there from us, and we met. What's Brother Waldron's first name?
David.
David Waldron. And Tracy. Okay. You want to come do this? I should have asked you before. It wasn't like, be quiet. It was like, okay. Anyway, we met David and Tracy Waldron there. We went by the church first, and their church just looks like a supply center. Tables with all kinds of supplies, water, clothing, all kinds of things. They've just turned their church over to this great work. And we met with three of their men, one of their elders, and maybe two of their elders. And it was funny because their biggest problem they're having, and I don't know if anybody in this church wants to rise to the occasion, but some people up there have tried to make a Facebook utility that would help people stay in contact, and the people who need to be in contact can get together, but the people who don't need to get in there and mess around are kept out. And these guys, who probably had an average age of about 75 or so, we're going, we don't know how. We just don't know. There's probably an opportunity for somebody to do some good there. But David and Tracy were very pleased. The elders made a special gift to them on behalf of the church. And then David put us in his Suburban and took us out into the fire zone. And it's really amazing. You go down a road and you notice that on the side of the road there are guardrails that are on the ground. The posts are absolutely gone. Burned, and the guardrails are just laying on the ground. One crossover where underneath the road there was a large, heavy-duty, rubber reinforced pipe to let the water run under the road, and that pipe had just melted and collapsed, and so they'd go in to do that. House after house after house, where all that is standing is the fireplace and a bit of the brick veneer. No huge piles of ashes. No huge piles of partially burned house. If the house burned, it all burned. And the houses with the metal roofs, the house, the brickwork is standing, and the metal from the house looks like pieces of fried bacon just sort of draped across the bricks. And they said a couple of things. One was that they are just now developing the regulations that it's going to take for people to go in and help, what you should wear and what kind of breathing apparatus you ought to have. They're just now developing that, and so that's going to roll out pretty soon. Also, someone told us that in Austin there are tremendous warehouses of resources for Bastrop that are waiting to come in, and they're just waiting for the right conditions to exist. There's all kinds of help coming, and it's all staged and ready. Anyway, a lot of things going on there. That church lost about 15 of their families. One in five families in that church lost their house. And so just a lot of things going on and everything. I even have one of the families that could use some help this afternoon from 3 to 5 in kind of heavy work. They're trying to get the metal work out of their house site. If you want to help with something like that, I don't know if it's possible for you, but if you let me know, I'll give you their email address. So, we've tried to be helpful, and there are going to be continuing ways to be helpful in that environment. John 3. Mary Dillman read the first 16 verses, about half the chapter. John 3 begins a series of wonderful interviews, occasions where Jesus is talking to people who are in various stages of need. Maybe he started that with his mom. I don't know if you'd count that one. But here in John chapter 3, a man comes by night, and night means something here. A man comes in the darkness, and he asks Jesus for a word. He begins talking in a certain direction, and Jesus doesn't really want to go the direction his conversation is going, and Jesus tells him that if you want to be renewed, if you want to be a member of the kingdom, if you want to be a part of the people of God, you must be born from again. You must be born from above. And that language of a new birth moves into the Christian vocabulary right there in John chapter 3. You'll see some bumper stickers in Austin that say, "Born all right the first time, thanks." Born all right the first time, thanks. And it is a direct counter statement to the notion of being born again. But Jesus does not believe that Nicodemus or any of the people around him were in any position where they could avoid needing to be born again. Jesus comes as the Son of the Father. We were noticing the Father this morning in our Bible class. The sweet Father that in the Lord's Prayer presents Himself as present and pure and powerful and providing and pardoning and protecting. But this God who is like that has also been presented as the God who wants to have children of us in the world. To all who did receive Him, who received Jesus, who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, not of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. And so the very thing that is coming out of the heart of the sweet and good Father, the very thing that was promised in chapter 1, that there would be an offer of being a child of God, born of God, well, that's what we now see in the conversation with Nicodemus. Nicodemus says, "You must be born again." But Nicodemus has some trouble with that because he's pretty smart. How can a man be born when he is old? Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born. And Jesus doesn't say, I forgot. Thanks. I had forgotten about that. Never mind. But he follows immediately in verse 5. "I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he's born of water and the Spirit." You must be born again to come under the rule or the reign of God. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. This new birth requires this. I looked for a good slide on wind, and I decided a blank slide worked pretty good for me. This is wind. This is wind. Jesus does this play on words with wind and spirit. This play on words is as old as creation itself. In the beginning, when God created all things, it says in the Hebrew that the Ruach Elohim was over the face of the deep. The Ruach Elohim. You like that fancy talking like that. That's Hebrew. Ruach is the word for wind and spirit. And Elohim can refer to this is, say, the spirit of God, or it can mean a mighty wind. Can mean that, and so that play on words, that is it this or is it that, is moving now from Genesis 1 into John chapter 3. And John tells Nicodemus that you must not only be born of your physical birth, but you must be born in your spiritual birth. It's not enough to just be born in the water of your first birth, but you must be born in the wind and the spirit of your second birth. Nicodemus doesn't know much about this, but Jesus says, you know the wind. You don't know where it comes from. You don't know where it goes. You know the wind. And so it is, like the wind, with everyone who is born of the Spirit. When we moved to Abilene, we meaning Annette and I, one of the things that we noticed in Austin is that you don't hear the wind. In Abilene, Texas, 11 months out of the year, you hear the wind. August is very strange. People stop yelling when they talk to each other outside. In August, you'll look on the hillsides, and sometimes the wind turbines aren't turning in August. But basically, 11 other months of the year, in Abilene, the wind blows, and you hear the wind blowing. And you would never not know about the wind. But Jesus tells Nicodemus, have you forgotten about the wind? And as to say, have you forgotten the Spirit of God? If you go down to the end of John chapter 3, it will say that the Father has given Jesus the Spirit without measure. Jesus knows the Spirit. Jesus knows the wind of God. Jesus knows what it is to have your lungs filled, not just with the oxygen of this world, but to have your lungs filled with the Spirit, the wind of God. He knows what it's like to not only have, as you're born as a baby, to take that first breath and to blow through your vocal cords the wind of this world in your first cry, but He knows what it is to be filled with the Spirit of God. He knows. And He says, if you're going to be born again, you're going to be born in the wind, in the Spirit. And so as He talks on in John 3, John has this piece where he talks about Jesus. Maybe it's Jesus talking, maybe it's John talking. But he describes how all of this comes because God loves the world so desperately and completely. That God offers this new birth because He sees us as people who are perishing. That we are on the edge of disaster, and the only way back from this disaster is to come and offer a new beginning. To be born from above, to be born in the wind, to be born of the Spirit, to be born again. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever would believe in Him would not perish, but have everlasting, eternal life. That not only would life be long, but life would be rich with the things of God and the presence of God. The eternal will come. And then Jesus turns from the wind to the light. In chapter 1, John said that the true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. And Jesus then turns. Perhaps Nicodemus is still there. Perhaps this is a comment from John. But the language is meant for us to hear it all in one piece. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world. But men love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what he has been done through God. Whoever lives by the truth comes into the light. It makes it sound like that we have a choice about whether we remain in the darkness or we move into the light. In the darkness, things are obscured. Even from ourselves. We cover our evil from one another. We cover our darkness that is also in our heart. We cover it from others and from ourselves. And Jesus says, there comes a place where you have to decide, are you going to sit in the dark? Or are you going to come out in the light? What are you going to do? You see, this chapter, from its very beginning, is about decisions that have to be made. You must be born again. You need to decide, are you ready to be born again? Are you happy enough with your old life that you just say, born fine the first time, thanks? Or somewhere down deep in your heart, down deep in your knowledge of yourself and the world that's going on around you, do you say, there needs to be a fresh start here. There needs to be a new beginning. And you feel that in that new beginning, it will come not from within you, but from outside you. Not from around you, but from above you. And it will not be something that you can produce with your own breath. But you're going to need the wind of God to fill your lungs and surround your life and to fill your sails and move you through. You're going to have to decide if you're born again. Babies don't get to decide things like that. They sit in their darkness as these wonderful water-borne creatures with lungs full of air, no breath about them. They sit in their darkness and they wait for their time to be born. And when their time, totally without their initiation, comes, they move. They move to a place where they're about to meet the wind and the light. And pressured down that birth canal with that birth canal squeezing their lungs flat, all the water gone, then they burst into the light, eyes blinking at what that light is they've never seen, and their lungs finding in their negative pressure the ability to expand and fill with something they've never known. The air of this world, and they cry a cry of celebration in the wind and the light. Only if the place that we wait in darkness and stillness were as benign as the place that held us inside our mother. There in that sweet darkness close to the beating heart that loved us most. But now as we await this second birth that Jesus invites us to, that John invites us to, now we think, I want you to think with me of the place that is darkest and most still. And I think of the place they put Jesus when his life was done. And they rolled the stone. And they sealed him in a tomb that was dark and still. He lay there, innocent, and yet the victim of a tragic and sacrificial death. And when the stone was rolled away on that Sunday morning, his lungs again were full as the Spirit raised him to life, and he walked out of the tomb into the light. And I feel the same invitation as I sit in my own tomb. In my own tomb, the tomb of my own life, the tomb of my own making, the tomb of my own darkness, the tomb in which I am breathing the air of this world, but not one breath of the wind of the Spirit. I think of these own tombs, and Jesus is calling us all out of these tombs, and He says, come out into the wind, come out into the wind of the Spirit, come out into the light, come, be born again. And as certain as the wind and the light waits from our physical birth, and in the very same and powerful way, the wind and the light waits when we are born again. And we are said to be people who may be filled with the Spirit, the wind of God. And we are the ones who are called to walk in the light as He is in the light, and have fellowship with one another and the forgiveness of our sins. This morning we hear the invitation to be born again, to be born from above, to come from the darkness and the stillness of life and walk into the wind of the Spirit and the light of the glory of the Son of God. We hear that invitation. The challenge for each one of us is to continue to live in the wind and the light as those who have answered it. Or for some of us, it may be this morning that we still sit in our tomb and we wait and we wait. Today could be the day of your new birth, your new breath, your new vision. We'd invite you to come and be joined with Christ in His death. To be joined with Christ in His burial, and be joined with Christ in His glorious resurrection to new life. Come, stand and sing together.